perhaps in America, the most telling instance of Jewish influence destroying another religion is what we see with the evangelicals, where
yes.
people like Reverend Hagee completely change the meaning of passages in the Bible and insert some kind of tangent to Israel, where we're supposed to protect the Israelis from the evil Arabs. The Christian Bible never said that, but now it does.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been trying to explain to the Islamic community, many people in London, in the Islamic community in London, have been lied to the point where they make apologies for people within their own religion going astray and becoming terrorists. And I said, wait a minute, the people that are doing terrorism in by and large are from either been bought and paid for by Zionist Jewish control, or they've been lied to in order to take actions that they believe are right, but in fact only hurt the religion that they supposedly represent. In other words, we've got a lot of people angry at the West and from Islam. We get a lot of people angry at the West for the actions they've taken in Iraq, the actions they've taken in Palestine, and so forth. The fact of the matter is that anger can get displayed, rightfully so, against Western interests. But the fact is, it's been done intentionally to cause hatred between two groups, and it's worked so well, John. One of my goals here in this broadcast is to try and bridge the gaps between these two communities so that we can both turn our ire on the real culprits. And that's been my hope when I do these shows.
If you really look at it, Islam and Christianity have a lot more in common with each other than they do with that other so-called religion. They're respectful, they're honest, they seek for the good, and none of that can be said of Judaism.
What is it about the Talmud that is so sick? I mean, they talk about so many things in there, but you were talking earlier today about the children in the Jewish faith learning from a very early age that they are slated for leadership over the Christian world or over everybody except Jews, but more than that, what else? What other things are they indoctrinated into, John?
Well, also they have the money to back up what they promise too. They have, you know, in many ways, they have some admirable traits. Their solidarity with their own community is remarkable. They have spread throughout the entire world and they act as one. Unfortunately, everyone else suffers from this, and I've really thought a great deal about this. Should we be like them? Are they like us? Did they learn this from us? Maybe. They were always the outcasts from time immemorial. They had to fight for what they got. They underwent a lot of difficulty and persecution. The thing of it is, when people start on their soliloquies about anti-Semitism, they leave out the part where the Jewish community has brought a lot of this onto themselves simply by their own behavior, and that's principally money, loan sharking throughout the Middle Ages. There is an interesting theory about how all of this came to be, and in the early Christian church, usury was prohibited by Christians, and this allowed the Jews to take care of all of that business. Now,
yeah.
the question that has been raised was Christianity originally created by Jews in order to get themselves a monopoly on the handling of money, and that would account for the proscription against Christians being able to make loans for interest. This is something I It sounds very suspicious to me, but I can't prove it. I would like to read somebody who could. But when you think about it, why would the Christians be prohibited from loaning money to other people and the Jews allowed to? Because this is what has enabled them to gain control of the whole world. What's happening in my country and your country and all the other countries of the world is all about the Jewish consolidation of money. They've bought up everything. Now what's going on in the United States is that they've already gotten the money in the phony loans. Now they're going to get paid twice and paid for by the American people because the government is going to bail out all the debts. So they've won twice. This is a
well, I did some research, John, on the statistics of Jewish wealth, and as far as I could tell, 7 out of 10 billionaires, that's 70% of the billionaires in the world, are Jewish.
Right.
Now, that's an incredible amount of wealth concentrated in the hands of, you know how many people in the world are Jewish by number? It's 1 in 25,000. One person out of every 25,000 is Jewish.
2%, yeah.
Well, no, that's in America. 1 out of 25,000 worldwide. If you divide the number of Jews by the number of people on Earth, only one person in 25,000 is Jewish, but 70% are the billionaires.
Right.
Now, that's more than a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. Take just that one fact alone should have you sitting there in shock. I mean,
And of course, those things are never mentioned because of who owns the media.
That's right. And I think the media is more than 7 out of 10. I think it's more like 95%. Now, let's talk a little bit about the concept and the situation we find worldwide of crypto-Judaism. Now, this has been a way that they have used, John, to infiltrate so many areas of our daily lives, and including people like Wesley Clark or like Madeleine Albright. Now, the name Albright does not sound at all Jewish, but it's certainly when she was shocked to find out her Jewish heritage, and she said this in an interview she did. Well, I didn't know I was Jewish. The same thing of this guy Dean in Vermont, or Nicolas Sarkozy, or I mean, you can go on and on and on here. The fact of the matter is, this has been a strategy they have used worldwide to infiltrate. They all the way back to Sabbatai C, when his followers infiltrated the Ottoman Turk Empire and imploded it. So what do you see that as an important factor, and do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I was when I read Henry Ford, I was rather aghast to read that Christopher Columbus's backers were Jewish.
Yes.
And that his crew was Jewish.
Yes.
The six men crew was all Jewish. And they went back, they went to the Caribbean islands, and for the longest time I was bashing the Catholic Church for this, because they cut the hands off the Taino Indians, because they wouldn't worship Christianity, because they couldn't understand what they were saying, and this was the way of teaching them. And like I say, for the longest time, I blame the Catholic Church for this. But then in reading Henry Ford, I found out that Ferdinand and Isabella had it with the Jews for siding with the Muslims and trying to overthrow the government of Spain back in the 1400s. Now, Ferdinand and Isabella threw them all out, ordered them all to leave on August 2nd, 1492. On August 3rd, 1492, Columbus set sail for America with his Jewish crew and allowed to go there by his Jewish backers. Now,
yeah.
when you look at, you've done nice stories on Aaron Lopez and the slave trade, and
yep.
this is a kind of subterranean Jewish hegemony way back in the 1700s. They were controlling things then, although not as obvious and certainly not as complete. They had, through the bankers in Holland and what has now become
the Square Mile in London.
Yeah. they have, well, it was Frankfurt really where it started. They have spread their power through money and through the corruption of Gentiles, because we're all corruptible. We all have a price that we can't refuse. Most of us do. 99.9% of us do. And they have found they are the master manipulators of people's weak points. They profit through crime, and they profit through forbidden practices, and there are always Gentiles who want this stuff, and the Jews find them and make them their leaders. Look at John McCain, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, John, I mean, in this battle, too, they have put forward a great amount of effort to subvert my understanding of this, and it, all the way to the point where in the beginning of this broadcast, I talked about having been subverted even against you as a friend by someone I believe is working for Jewish interests. I mean, this is a tough game we're fighting here. These people are very very adept at using everything and anything to subvert or to control everything that they need to control to win.
And right now, there's a subject that's near and dear to your heart that serves as a great example of this, because right now the people who are trying to get a handle on what's going on search the internet for people to give them the inside scoop on things. And
yep.
Who do they turn to? They turn to Jeff Rentz. They turn to Alex Jones, and they're getting hair-raising information from these people to the point where it almost sounds real.
Yep.
But as you and I both know, there is a, I don't know what the name of this principle is, where they leak out a little information to make you think that they're on your side. But as you and I both know, when you dig a little deeper under that information and try to push them to say what is really going on, they just can't quite do it because they don't want to offend their Jewish advertisers.
Well, yeah,
so,
this is what's wrong with Ron Paul.
even our attempts to break the real story to people, that whole market has been saturated by people who are pretending to be our friends but are really trying to steer us into a more Jew-friendly attitude.
How about loose change on 9/11, the 9/11 story coming out because of supposedly being exposed by these loose change fellas, all of them Jewish, and in fact, the story they're telling stops short of the real culprits.
Well, they all stop short. If you remember my interview with Sophia here a couple of weeks ago on another network,
yep.
she's making her way toward this realization. She's not quite there yet, but she is finding that even her gentle probes into the subject have earned her the wrath of all the Jews who are in the movement. And in fact, this is a useful exercise, because the people who use the term anti-Semitism are really being dishonest. They are trying to stop you from thinking about the subject that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so whenever you're called anti-Semitic, it's important, without getting into an endless conversation, it's important to question that person as to why they are calling you that. And if they're able to explain why they're using that term, you will quickly be able to see that they are trying to stop you from investigating crimes that have been committed by Jews.
Yeah.
That's what the charge of anti-Semitism is about.
Well, but then we have another whole layer of crimes being committed morally, John. The crimes of pushing pornography on our societies, pushing homosexuality into our daily lives, even as far as starting to instruct young children in grade school and middle school on the do's and don'ts of a good homosexual relationship. This kind of stuff is coming fast and furious in our social lives and in our moral world. So the assault is not political. It's not just medical. The moral side of it is leaving us completely demoralized and completely feeling like we have no roots in anything good anymore. You want to discuss a little bit about the moral degradation propagated by this group?
Well, all of the both Islam and Christianity teach that you do unto others as you would do unto you. The Talmud sure as hell doesn't preach that. The Talmud preaches that you can rob or kill anybody you want as long as they're not Jewish, and you can take what they have. And this goes back to the Old Testament, which totally blows out of the water this idea that these Torah true Jews are somehow different from the Talmud true Jews, because they're both about the same. But they run these tricks. They're constantly trying to hide their own behavior, because they know somewhere inside themselves they know their behavior is wrong. But they have been able to corrupt most of the world. They find out who's going to be going into power, and they get something on them so they can blackmail them and control them. And this is true of the entire American Congress. It's true of every American president, practically as far back as you can look. And they have, through bribery and blackmail and murder, been able to turn every American politician, almost every American politician of the 20th century, into a Jewish-friendly, corrupt dispenser of ill-gotten gain.
But the morality shift, where you know, you remember, we're almost the same age. You're a little older than I am. But I mean, our society, the United States, did not warm up to pornography. It wasn't until the 1970s this stuff exploded, 30 years ago. I mean, in the 1960s and 50s, you know, pornography wasn't on everywhere you looked. Now today, 7, 8, 9-year-olds, if they go on the internet, they can see some of the most horrendous representations of personal relationships that are, in all essence, they're disgusting. There's no surprise to me that we've got divorce rates in the 50-60%, John. People are not communicating with any moral compass anymore.
That's true too. Going back to the immigration situation is probably the best example of they try and succeed in many respects. Or at least in the United States, I don't know if it's true of Russia and Germany, because there is Russia, Germany, and the United States, and the destruction of all three countries need to be looked at all together, because they're the same process working. It's a little different in the United States because of the maybe at one time greater freedom than people had in those other countries, but it is an attempt at destabilization. This whole immigration thing is about destabilization, and this is not to say that people of all races and creeds shouldn't have an equal opportunity. I definitely don't mean that, but to introduce millions upon millions of immigrants into the United States has been a deliberate attempt to destabilize the United States. I watched a video not too long ago. I forget the fellow's name. But he attributed all the financial problems of the United States to immigration. When the immigration laws were changed in the 1960s, shortly after the Kennedy assassination, and shortly after Lyndon Johnson became president, and the foreign aid to Israel began to skyrocket, there has been a shift in Jewish control has become so much greater since the Kennedy assassination. And now it's to the point where the Jews are laughing at the rest of us. They're talking openly about the control that they have, especially of media and the arts and education. All of these things have been taken over by so-called Jewish experts, and they're not experts. All they've done is twist our focus into helping us to destroy ourselves, which we seem to be doing.
Well, it's interesting, John. You know, when I've noted that the organizations they've created, they make the people that they're destroying with these organizations pay for their own demise. You'll notice these think tanks are supported by people that actually are being undermined. The education part of the Carnegie Mellon group, or the Rockefeller group, or the Ford Foundation now, which Henry Ford and his family completely lost control over to Jewish interests, or Annenberg. How about this guy Annenberg, who used to be a mafioso, who now is supposedly this big philanthropist on public broadcasting, but when you find out that this guy was nothing more than a Brothman bootlegging criminal, that now is just subjugating people and indoctrinating them into immorality and sickness. It's astonishing, because they turn around and force the very people they're killing to pay for the things that they're doing. It's brilliant in the way they've done it. Brilliant, it really is. I gotta admire the effect of it all, but it's so sinister that I can't even.
What? Diabolically brilliant.
Yes, it's diabolically brilliant, exactly. And I've begun looking into OGM foods. And looking into the vaccine programs, all of it, same people, same crime, same gang. It's astonishing how sick and how complete their control over all these areas is. You know, the Pan-African audience we're listening to, that's listening to us right now, John, they need to know that these vaccines that have gone out into Africa have actually made their populations vulnerable and sick, and in many cases, killed them off. It's astonishing to think that so much murder and mayhem has been created through the medical side of this. Do you have anything to add to that?
We could go on about this forever. People, and I don't think we're going to wake up. People are not going to wake up. The Americans are talking about Obama can save them. Obama reminds me of Richard Nixon. You know, he's someone who was discovered, who would do anything they asked, and so they promote him. Obama has probably less right than anybody else in Congress to be running for president. He's been a senator for what, 2 or 3 years? He's never cast any major votes. He has been propelled to where he is by Jewish backers, as has his opponent, McCain. The Jews are in complete control of the upcoming American election. They have two Jewish vice presidential nominees, Biden and Palin. Both have Jewish ancestry. So we're going to get a Jewish president. We've had Jewish presidents, but nobody's known it. Nobody knew that Eisenhower was a Jew. Nobody knew that the Roosevelts had Jewish ancestry.
Yeah,
and there have been several others.
Well, do you know that the South African president has just stepped down, or been asked to step down, Thabo Mbeki? I can guarantee you there'll be influence from behind by these same forces in the next president of South Africa, because the wealth and mineral riches of that country is far too valuable for them to leave it to anybody else. And so you can't imagine the amount of effort they will put in to winning what they want, and they'll stoop to any level. Now, what do you think we need to do going forward here, John? We only got a few minutes left, and I'll give you this last 2 or 3 minutes here to talk to the public here, because they get to hear me quite regularly, but you not so. So what do you think we can do at least to get... Hey, we got to try, John. We got to try to stop them.
We are trying.
I am trying, but I've got to convince my public here listening to these broadcasts that they, too, have to get off their backsides and make this a priority in their life, that these people are defeated.
Well, unfortunately, the only way to do it is through education. And the educational system has an embargo, has a total block on critical discussion of Jewish interests, Israeli activities, or any of these other things that are going on that emanate from Jewish sources. So education is the answer, but schools are not providing education. The media is not providing education. This requires the kind of independent initiative to find out these things that you and I have practiced for a long time. But most people don't have the opportunity to do that because they're too busy trying to stay alive. And this is what the Jews count on. This is what this financial tsunami that is engulfing the whole world now is all about. They want to keep everybody so busy trying to stay alive that they can't see who is manipulating them, and they have been extremely successful at this by their creation of world wars and such for really a very long time, much longer than anybody realizes. So that the curriculum for all of us who value freedom is to understand who these people are, what they're doing, and how they control our lives. Now, that's only the first step. And we've taken the first step, and we're doing our best to make other people understand what we're talking about. But the action part presents, as you know, a much larger problem, because they have all the guns, they have all the money, they have all the electronic communications, they control all the telephones in America, for instance. And how we're going to do this is really beyond me, because everybody in America has been brought up to think of the Jews as victims, and the poor Jews were hassled by the Germans, and they don't understand the whole German story because it's presented by Jewish media. The Jews destroyed Germany several times, and yet Germans are vilified and Jews are not, and it's all about control of the media. So really the first step is to stop believing anything you hear on television or read in a big newspaper. You've got to get on the internet and read people like myself and you and whoever else is out there, and to try to understand, because the time is going to come when we're out of money, these people are going to turn on this, they're going to kill us or put us in concentration camps, and then it's definitely going to be too late to do something. Now it's not too late.
Yeah. Well, John, you know what? We've come to the end of our hour here. I want to thank you for taking this time. And in fact, I know it was not that easy for you to make the time for this today, so I'm very grateful. Your website is johnkaminsky.info?
That's correct.
johnkaminsky.info. You can find the link on my front page, ladies and gentlemen, at iamthewitness.com. My website is being, John, I'll give you a little hopeful sign here. The last 7 days I've been visited in 152 countries.
Very good.
And one of my days was up in the 35,000-40,000 people visited in one day.
Excellent.
So these
keep up the good work, Darrell. I got to run.
I know you do. Thank you, John, for coming on. We've got a couple of seconds left here to close out the show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank each and every one of you listeners out there for tuning in today to the French Connection. We are in a dire set of circumstances as we speak. Financial problems are going to mount across the globe, and your daily lives are going to be complicated by these problems. Please don't lose sight of who's done this to you and what their ultimate goal is. And tell others, tell everyone. If you've got friends in the Islamic community and outside, build bridges between other groups. People who are interested in honest facts and truth, and show them what you know. Show them the French Connection. Show them johnkaminsky.info. Tell them that this is a dire moment in the history of humanity, and we all need to pull together. I wish each and every one of you all the best, and with your Ramadan holidays and your fasting. And until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, please take care of your families. And this is Darrell Bradford Smith telling you all, please, be well.